Walter and Fonzie show. Don't you know? You drink Jameson until you got to go. It's on the rocks. Plenty of punk rock. The Walter and Fonzie show.
You guys get an app. What? You guys get an app.
All right, we're hanging at a very special bar here in the home of Sarah Agajanian. Close enough? Did I get it? Kind of?
Agajanian.
Well, it's fine. My apologies, but thank you for letting us in to your house.
Of course, tonight. Anytime.
We are very excited.
Yeah, we're freaking, we haven't done a show for a while, and then for you to invite us to your house and at the bar, I mean at the bar, not the house.
I aim to please, man.
Yeah,
I'm
serious.
There's a whole reason behind this bar. I love being behind the bar or at a bar.
Hopefully somebody took a picture of this right now.
I did take a picture as you guys were setting up your gear. I was like, I got a podcast radio show at my bar.
Well, awesome. I like being at a bar, and it seems like you like being behind your own bar mm-hmm. with the mic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's like two things at once. It's overload. I'm so excited.
Well, cheers to that.
Well, cheers.
Cheers
to
that.
To parking in a bar.
You know, Fon, speaking of cheers, you
I like
know,
saying salud, by the
salud,
way.
Salud. Like, yeah. Well, we're going to say a lot of that because as of the last week, we literally have had listeners from about like 7-8 different countries.
Even though we missed a week?
Even though we've missed a week, we've managed to gain listeners from Germany, France, Spain, Ukraine, Serbian. Is that maybe Serbian and Montenegrin? I don't know. I can't keep up with my geography. But
works for me.
It works for you.
Yeah. Me too.
Arabia, Sweden, and Poland.
And Poland, too?
And Poland. So,
wow.
So
and you made sure that this wasn't spam, right?
No, I totally made sure.
Or their style of the NSA.
You know what? Either or, they're forced to listen to our show.
Hey, perfect.
So, like, I mean, if they're trying to collect some taxes of mine or they're trying to hunt me down, if that's what I have to do for listeners, damn it, then that's what I'll do.
Maybe you'll get some Armenians.
Maybe. On that note.
After tonight, I think we will.
I think so.
Yeah. It's going to be one of my tags on that.
All right. There you go.
So we'll start with that. We've already said cheers. I think, now this is my best interpretation of it. You say genatz.
Yes.
I think. Is that how you say it?
To cheers.
To cheers.
Genatz.
Genatz.
Genatz. I like genatz.
So on that note.
That means stand tall.
We stand tall?
That's what it kind of means.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And if you're drinking, how is that possible?
I don't know. You start off standing tall.
I can't.
Yeah. I've been to an Armenian wedding, and it's like, I cannot stand tall after that.
Oh,
God. I cannot genatz after.
Did you have tons of, booze and bottles on your table?
There was, like, nothing but vodka bottles on my table. And, a lot of food.
Yeah.
A lot of food. Some of it looked like meat jelly or meat jello.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good.
That sounds amazing.
It's
like,
delicious.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Those are
but all the vodka. And then people come around. And it's like, oh, cheers. And like, it's just like so much drinking. It's like everybody's like drinking vodka. It's
and tons
insane.
Of dancing too.
Yes.
I would imagine.
I'd love it.
Tons of dancing, 500 people.
It's
sweet.
Tons of food.
The wedding that I went to, it was an Armenian wife and a Guatemalan.
Wow.
Guatemalan.
That's cool.
Husband. It was awesome.
That's hard to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, this is what's happening, man. We're melting together.
It's pretty cool. In Glendale.
You're definitely
but it was in Glendale.
It was in Glendale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is like the small Armenia.
Actually, sometimes the big Armenia.
Yeah. Yeah, now. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's true.
Well.
Hey, sorry.
It's a music show.
Yes.
I have a question for you guys. Mm. Are there anything that you guys do that you can't do unless you have music playing?
Yeah.
What?
Let's think about this. Be happy.
That works.
Be happy. Clean.
Clean.
Clean. That's my biggest clean.
Like, you have to put the
I don't
music.
Have to have it for working out anymore because I play music all the time, so I kind of need the silence. But to clean and to be like, cool. You know, if I'm stoned or I'm cleaning, I need to have music on.
Gotcha.
For sure.
So getting stoned then, you need music for stoned or not really?
I'm not somebody who, I like the green, you know, I'm gonna say it on your podcast now and we're just going to put it
out judgment.
There.
No judgment.
It's a beautiful thing for
you don't sleep in the bushes.
The no, I don't. I just smoke them.
It's medicated.
It's medicated. But, you know, if I do, I have to have sound around me. I have to have music or I have to be making music.
Right.
Because otherwise the thoughts, you know, I'd start thinking too much. So I need to do that painting. If I paint, I got to have the music blasting for sure.
Wow.
Music playing. I do a whole, like, you know, I set up the whole space for it just to, you know.
Get you in the mood.
Get
stuff.
Me in the mood. Let the gods come through.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. So cleaning for sure, though. I mean, there's just, otherwise you get distracted, you know.
It gets really old really quick.
It does get
well,
so
you know,
old.
I don't know how you do it here. Like, I imagine you need music because if there isn't any music, you're going to pass by your keyboard and be like, yeah, I'm just going to blink.
Yep. Sounds like Walter. It's like, oh, I got to go out tonight. And then he passes by his guitar and he just picks it up.
Towel out of the shower.
Out of the
towel.
Shower.
That's
it's
the
like,
big
oh,
thing,
shit.
Apparently, back in the day when I used to sleep
it's
in
like,
bushes.
Fuck. He starts playing. It's like, dude, we got to be there in a certain hour. It's like, all right, just one more song. You know, it's like fuck.
Fashionably late. I
yeah.
push that to
it's
the
okay,
limit.
Though. You can use that with your friends. I do it all the time. Sorry, I'm late, man. I was writing a song.
Oh, well, that's professional, damn it.
And then they don't even get mad.
Oh.
Because they can't.
That's true.
Because it's like, all right, it's cool.
Yeah.
You had to write that song.
So, Bonds, what about you? What about you?
Well, I have to do it when I'm cleaning and I'm washing dishes. It's usually punk.
Punk rock.
Punk rock. Because sometimes there's a punk rock song that that you don't like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, all punk rock.
Because it's like 40 seconds long.
Yeah, exactly. So you just have to wait. Like your hands are wet, so you can't change the channel. You can't push fucking next or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just like, all right. Just wait a minute. It's the next song's coming. It's literally
that
like,
is hilarious.
Right. So
that's true. That's a great point.
So when I'm washing dishes, my hands are all wet. I have my Pandora or something going on. It's like just muscle through this song and then the next song comes up. And then, all right, great song. You know?
Yeah. I got you on that. Yeah, for sure. Like running, if I run, I can't run without music. I mean, I can't literally the thought of putting one foot in front of the other, an effort to do that, it's like it's mundane, so I have to have music, and that's where my punk rock is, and I love the punk rock. But when I cook, I don't know what it is. When I cook, it has to be like soul, like
yeah.
Sam Cooke, uh-huh. Otis Redding, like just like I don't know why, but like to me, my punk is my running, and then my cooking when I cook is
it's more
soulful. Yeah,
makes sense.
But those two things, and the reason why I bring those two things up is because I absolutely need music for those two things. I can't not have music for those things, or else I won't do it.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing because that keeps music in high demand. Right?
Oh yeah,
if
most
you can't
definitely.
Operate daily tasks without listening to it, it'll always be a necessity.
I believe that.
For me, it's like driving home from work.
Yeah, in the car.
In the car,
you gotta have music in the car.
Yeah, for
what?
Me,
you don't listen to Walter and Fonz podcast? What the hell's wrong with you?
Hey, I'm on the show. I know what I said. Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Exactly.
Oh, I said that. Huh?
Yeah. So I mean, for me, it's like coming home. It's blues.
Mm.
Oh, that's
coming home. It's just blues.
Dude. If I listen to blues, I literally if I'm driving, listen to blues. I will drink and drive, dude. Blues, I associate blues with whiskey.
Either take your shirt off.
Either
know,
I will
go
like a rash or blues whiskey or it has to be like 100 degrees. Like,
but if I'm trying to get somewhere really quick, I'll put on Offspring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pump it up a notch.
Yep. Some
bad
old
habit.
90s.
Bad
yeah.
habit. Oh my
that's
god.
That's true. That's so, a good track.
It's like I'll start switching lanes and. Trying to get past everybody.
So you got music.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any genres of music that you associate with tasks that you do with music?
Yes.
Here we go.
These are great questions, Walter.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Chopin when I'm cooking.
Chopin.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love. I grew up playing piano, so in classical piano. Even though I don't play a lot of Chopin very well, I love to listen to it. It actually just de-stresses me 100% and it helps me focus. So, and I don't cook a whole lot because I'm a party of one. So usually it just gets wasted. But if I am in that mood to like make food, Chopin is on. What else did I say that I use? Chopin. If I'm running or like going outside, it depends. The artists usually change. It depends what I'm listening to. But I like something a little bit more upbeat. Like, I've been listening to Lissy's new album, which is Back to Forever. So I can work out to that, or like Disclosure, which are those DJ guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
That working out to that, or, who else am I listening to right now? It's intense. There's a song by The Kills. I love to run to that song. So that's the kind of music I relate to that. And then, relaxing is Chopin, always. I mean, I always listen to that constantly. Or any kind of piano, anything. But Led Zeppelin, if I need inspiration, honestly, and I'm down and out and like the world seems dark, if I put on Led Zeppelin DVD, I'm fucking
game. You just blew my mind because that's my default for everything.
Zeppelin. It's mine. Look at my posters, man. Yeah.
So like anything, like you can see it. Default Led Zeppelin. For anything, Led Zeppelin.
I don't think how you can go wrong with that.
You can't.
Led Zeppelin.
You cannot ever go wrong with Led Zeppelin.
No, you can't. I mean, there's like, it has everything.
Can
you
put
got
that in front
song?
Of the show? You can never go wrong with Led Zeppelin.
Well, you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong with Led Zeppelin. That's true. Led Zeppelin is incredible.
That's my default for anything.
There's a thing that I just posted like on Instagram. I don't think I posted it yet, but I copied it to post it eventually. And it said, if you don't have Led Zeppelin in your playlist, you don't have a playlist.
I'm gonna tell you right now, that beat on When the Levee Breaks.
Oh,
it's so simple.
Gonna
break. Oh my God. Isn't that so powerful? It's like you can have all these fills with drums, but that drum beat itself in the beginning.
John Bonham,
is just,
man.
Dude, it's just like, it rattles your bones.
You know what's crazy? What is the fact about Led Zeppelin? Like, they never won an award. They never, because guess what? They're so monumental as a band. They never got that recognition commercially, and that doesn't even matter.
Have you ever seen his son play?
No, he does the Bonham Experience,
yeah,
right?
Went to it. It's amazing.
Amazing.
I need
to go, dude.
And then they show him playing with his son on the bottom. It's amazing to watch.
You guys,
it's pretty cool.
Do you guys have black sheep in your family? Like, do you guys have black sheep in your family?
Yeah, I think I know her pretty well.
You know,
look in the mirror.
I see like
I'm in LA, the city of black sheep.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I like sit through like holidays or whatever, and they talk about certain uncles that I've had, and they're like, oh man, this guy, like, he was just a burnout, or he's a burnout. But you know what? That's my only connection. Because I have two uncles that are like black sheep, and they saw Zeppelin live at the Long Beach Convention Center. And like, they talk all this stuff, like, and I'm like, you guys don't know, man. That's the only connection all of us in this goddamn house have to Zeppelin live. I'm talking about like freaking Jimmy Page playing.
Robert Plant and his high vocals that he cannot do anymore.
What's that?
By the
what's
way.
That one yeah. track? It's like it's on that album. I think it's Led
Which
Zeppelin
one?
2. Mm-hmm. It's not Stairway, but it's the one right after where there. It sounds like there's a girl in it too. It's a slow song. Gosh, I was hearing it earlier.
I have the box set, but
I'll come to mind. But I mean, just track after track is just incredible. And to see Led Zeppelin
Physical
live,
graffiti.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I mean my dad saw them. You know.
Oh,
and,
did he?
Yeah, and he just, it was, it was in L.A. somewhere, because he's from East L.A., and he just said it was the most phenomenal experience. Honestly, I would do a lot of things to see them live, like, back in the day. Like, yeah. I feel like because I did see Robert Plant and the Band of Joy up in Santa Barbara, cried, and he redid Ramble On.
Oh, wow.
But they dropped it a couple half steps. So that he could sing in it, because he pretty much thrashed his voice. Because the way he was singing nowadays, like, now we know not to sing like that because he pushed it too hard vocally. But when he did it, even though it wasn't the same, it was still him behind a microphone with his lion mane and Ramble On. And I was hysterical. I was so happy at that moment because this guy is like, I mean, he's seriously my idol. I mean, that whole band is like everything to me. Grew up on classic rock. Led Zeppelin is like, I don't even know where it came from. Like, I didn't really listen to it in the house. And it just, I can't get enough. It makes you feel alive. Like,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
It,
oh,
like,
for sure.
Brings you back to life every time.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Yardbirds. That's pre-Zep. That was Jimmy
Plant.
Page with Eric Clapton.
Page.
Yeah. Page with
yes,
Clapton.
Yes, yes,
even
yes.
Then, it's just like, I mean,
you can
see
hear
the
it.
Steps yeah. About things like, geez, that's fucking, and then we can talk about Clapton too, but Led Zeppelin. Foundation. Wow, I'm glad we all agree.
Yes.
This happens.
If you
to
guys
be...
didn't agree, I would be like, all right, that was a great time.
Sarah,
all right,
see you later.
Agajanian Bar. This is Sarah Agajanian Bar. You don't like this? Get the hell out.
Sarah's bar is closed.
You can say, like, I wrote it down right here. Like, see, Led Zeppelin right here.
I can
Default.
See that Fonz wrote down Led Zeppelin on
Thank
his
you.
Little pamphlet.
Thank you.
I am acknowledging
you,
that he
you.
Wrote it down,
Thank
which
you.
Means this is meant to be.
On that note, you want to take a break?
Yes, please.
All right, let's take a break.
Living the life of creation, it's the ultimate vacation. Living a life that I've painted, I've always felt I could make it. Can't remember a time when I felt this whole. Everything is flowing, mind, body, and soul. I know in my heart, I know in between these lines, God's given me the power to fly, 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 fly. With your broken wings, rise, rise, rise. When the pain is coming, it's coming.
He was stuck in there.
All right. The Battle of Evermore. That's the song I was trying
that
to talk about. Isn't that like just straight up can mesmerize you? It can hypnotize you.
It's ridiculous. I love that song.
You have the single out, Meant to Be.
I do, yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, when did I put that song out? I put it out a couple years ago, I believe. I wrote the song. It was the first song I ever wrote. Ever.
Wow.
Ever wrote with vocals. I wrote songs as a child, but I became a singer when I was about 5.5 years ago. And I started vocal lessons because I just was dreaming I was singing and I was depressed when I woke up because I wasn't. I was like, well, maybe it's time I sing. So I went and took vocal lessons and I got home and I wrote a poem. And it says, in red lips, she speaks to me. She says, in purple haze, the stars are meant to be. And it was me singing to my future self about what I'm becoming now.
That's awesome.
It's taken like about 6 years. And now when I look at myself, which isn't all the time because I try and avoid it, is that I see myself and I'm like, wait a minute, that's what Meant to Be was. Now I'm her.
Wow. And, does that freak you out sometimes?
Well, it's an evolution of like getting into my own skin and it's meant to be. It's kind of like... it was a dream. It was a pipe dream. It was something that, was that alternate reality, the imagination that I had that I was going to be this singer on stage and sing around Los Angeles and I was going to write music, play the piano. And it was such a dream. And now it's real. And now I really have to think about what I really mean when I'm on stage. And that's the transition I'm in now. Now I'm in like that heavy place where it's like, if I'm going to freaking keep doing this, it's got to be exactly what I want and how I want it. So I'm happy.
That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, also Meant to Be, Soul Seeker.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite song, by the way.
Soul Seeker.
Yeah. Are you a soul? Soul Seeker. Yeah. Maybe a love teacher.
SMA.
The
Tame
new band
Me.
Name.
All these are all different tracks that I heard. Where do you get your influences to write? Like, are they from experiences, the city, people? Where do you get your influences?
God, you know what? It ranges so much when I write a song. It's kind of like I don't have any control of it. My only control is to make sure I sit down and allow it to happen. I usually write about how things are affecting me personally, my personal life, relationships, how I feel, or I'm very global in the way that I write. Like, I think of the big picture a lot of the times. I think about where we are as, I feel like where we are as a society. I write about that a lot too. I feel, I'm like a sponge. I feel what everybody's going through all the time. And I'll write about that. Or it'll be about me. It'll be either about me, somebody I know, or about the world. And it's just like this painful buildup of emotions that happens to me. And I have to, if I don't get them out through song, it weighs really heavy on me. So I'll go like a couple months where I don't write something. And then all of a sudden, bam, I'll write like 20 songs.
Wow.
That's where I'm at right now. Right now I'm writing. So I'm like happy. When I'm not writing, I'm like sponging and I'm like, don't know who I am because I'm just sucking it all in. And then when I write, it all just kind of makes sense, you know? And then I realize, oh, wait a minute, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be writing music.
Jameson and podcasting.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know who you're
Walter and Fonz show, everybody.
So is that why we're on the show? Yeah. That's why she showed up. That's why she showed up. She's sponging. It's like, damn it. She's going to write a song about us. Damn it.
Yeah, that's a bad thing, right? That's yeah. like for us. That's like, oh.
Yeah. No. Now I'm not sponging. Now I'm writing.
Oh, you're writing.
Now I'm executing right now. Sweet. I've got my gun out.
Well, when we walked up to your apartment, mm-hmm. it's like I heard you playing and mm-hmm. singing and stuff, and then you opened the door and he's like, I forgot I had that song. It's like, can you really? I forget that I did a show a couple of days ago, so I can relate. I can relate that you actually forgot that you wrote that song. So how did that come about? Like.
Forgetting songs?
Yeah. Like, do you know how many songs you actually have?
Songs that I actually play live? Yeah. Probably like 20 plus.
Yeah, wow. You're super
right now. Okay. That I'm comfortable with. Yeah. Songs that I've played over the course of 5 or 6 years? 50. Songs that I've actually written? A couple hundred.
Oh, wow.
There's so many in-between songs that you force yourself to maybe finish just because you know it's just a part of the creative process. I'm obsessed with creativity and I read up on it a lot and how to like support myself as an artist and understand the process. And a lot of it is just finishing a song that nobody might not ever hear.
Help me.
Yeah. Help me, help you.
Help me.
It's like, you know, there's so many. There's like these gaps in between the song. Like the songs that are strong, that stay around, you know it. Because when you write them, they write you. You don't write the song. The song writes you.
Sounds like your cat.
Yeah.
It's like your cat found you. You didn't find your cat.
He's crazy, man. I'm looking at him right now. He's like, I own this. Can I say?
Yeah, of course you can.
I own this bitch.
This is your bar. This is your goddamn
my house. And I'm trying to tell him. I'm telling him right now. This is not just your house. This is my house.
So some of the most creative minds, mm-hmm. Elton John, Joni Mitchell, Van Morrison, they've all played at Doug Weston's Troubadour. Mm-hmm. You played there last August, right?
I did.
What was that like? I mean, did you know the history of the Troubadour? Or what was it like to play there?
It's crazy because you guys are reflecting to me like what I've come through, and it's nice because I forget because I'm so wrapped up in the process.
The moment, too.
The moment, yeah. And the future, and like
just doing what you do.
Doing what I do, and I forget where I've been, and I should appreciate those things. Well, the Troubadour was an amazing situation because I was collaborating, singing backup harmony and keys with Emma Everts, and she's a Swedish singer. She's a very good friend of mine, and you know, just an awesome musician, and I was gigging around with her because my buddy Dave Hakopian, who was with Apex Theory, but now he's got his own band, Antenna of the End, set me up with her. He's like, yo, you should probably step out from behind being in the front, get behind her and see what it's like on the other side, you know, to make me a better performer. Fucking loved it. Had a great, excuse my language, loved it. Had a great time. So gigged with her at like, you know, hotel cafe, school night at Bardo, like all the big, because she's legit, you know, and talented. And I learned from her, and then his band came together and his female vocalist. And we're just like a group of like musical friends that support each other. And we're all operating on like a same level of intensity. Like we're all very like intense, you know, and he's Armenian and she's Swedish and the drummer's Armenian. And then it's just like, you know, And so we got the call to do the Troubadour, and we all got on the same bill together, and me and Emma split the set. We did four of my songs and four of her songs. Sweet. I backed her up. She backed me up. And this was before we had we hired the band. This was before we had our bands. We were both solo. And I opened up for Antenna the End, who opened up for Chameleon Conductor, which is like, these guys are part of like the System of a Down crowd. Very Armenian night. It was a dream come true, you know? I mean, to be on that stage and not really have assembled my band, just be a solo artist, but to be with my friends and be there and do the sound check and then to play the Troubadour. And I sang my song Dreamer, which I wrote when I first played live. And my first gig was at the Viper Room. And I was like, dude, this is like really happening. And Mr. Joplin Cat is meowing.
Yeah, by the way, we have another guest, meows. Mr. Joplin.
We should have got him a mic.
I know. Yeah. He deserves one. He's
Kitty Mike.
He's so in control. It was a dream come true. Playing the Troubadour was a moment for me where I thought, if I'm playing the Troubadour, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, there's something going on, right? That's pretty darn good.
Yeah,
right,
like
now.
Even Emma had played the Troubadour prior, and then we partied backstage upstairs with like the guys from System, and like it was just like this night. It was just like, I always want to be on the bill with my friends, and I'd love to tour with my friends. I think it would be amazing. It means whatever energy I've been putting into this, and it's been a trying situation, and it's taken a lot of my energy, my money, my focus, my heart. It means that the world is listening, and keep playing.
Well, the world is listening.
Yeah.
We are definitely listening, because that's pretty awesome.
Thanks,
the only
man.
Thing me and Walter ever did at the Troubadour is get into a fight.
Drink excessively, probably. Yeah. No bushes.
Don't worry, though.
No
I
bushes.
Drink excessively.
No,
yeah.
Bushes. No bushes.
No bushes.
No bushes.
To the desert sun. Oh, he runs to find some answers of his late father. He died last December, left him behind to remember that the heart must go. Run around life can hold us down, so we seek to find to be found. This run around life can hold us down, so we seek to find. Be found.
You've talked about playing solo, and now you're moving on to playing with a band. Mm-hmm. You've created some really great work on your own.
Oh, thank you.
But now you're looking to move ahead. Why? What are the pros and cons with that?
Well, in a town of Los Angeles, and what my understanding is, and I have like a quasi manager who directs me from, it's called SQE Music. They're like an independent management company.
Okay.
The guy's been kind of directing me on what to do. And the truth is that this town is filled with session players. Okay. So you hire them and you pay them to rehearse with you and to play with you live. If you don't have an excessive amount of money coming through you, and I run my own business, so I do have some cash, but I don't have that amount. I mean, every show would probably set me back between musicians and rehearsal space would set me back between $300 to $500 a gig when I'd barely even get paid. So, as a solo musician, I wasn't gigging enough, just me and the piano, and I got bored. I like to play music. I like to jam. I like to make up stuff, make up lyrics. I like to drink a beer, smoke a joint, have a good time. I like the process in the creative element, you know? And so this manager was like, between him and Dave from Antenna the End and Apex Theory, we're like, dude, I know you're solo, but you got to have steady musicians that you play with on a regular basis so you can get that magic, you know, because you're fighting against not getting paid the gig, and this is LA, you know. I was like, you're right. I just want a rehearsal space where I can jam. So I got my drummer in December, this kid, he's like 19, you know, and he's just badass, and he songwrites with me, and now we've got the third player coming in. But pretty much, so artists, there's so many female singer-songwriters out there, and nobody ever hears of them, and I don't want to compete with, like, I don't want a narcissistic project. I really don't want to post pictures of my face all the time, and I've got a gig, look at my face. I've got a gig here, look at my face. It's not about me. It's really about the songs, and I'm tired of making it about me.
Yeah,
I'm over it, because that's not why I'm doing it. So with a band, I feel like it'd be more organic. And if I can bring my powers with other powers and other talents, we can do that and produce something nice. And then we take it to a producer and then we get it produced. Versus me solo going to a producer, us making it, and then I have to hire musicians to play with me all the time. I'll never be able to afford a tour. I'll never be able to afford it gigging in LA.
And at that point, it'll be with someone else's money, so you'll never get anything anyway.
Yeah, and I don't really want an investor because I want complete 150% control.
Good
yeah.
job.
You know, I am as much of an artist that I am. I am also a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. I want to take control of my creative destiny. So, you know, I need my musicians, and if I need to call it a different name, not Sarah Agajanian, that's okay because nobody remembers the name anyway when I play solo. Nobody can pronounce it.
Well, nobody can pronounce the last name.
Well, the
it's
problem
so
is
so long on the marquee at the Troubadour, it was spelled wrong.
Oh. Like, wait, did you take a picture? Oh, you didn't.
I did.
Take
I got a
picture.
It was A-J-A-N-I-A-N. Which
A-J-A?
Is, yeah. N-I-A-N. It's supposed to be A-G-A-J-A-N-I-A-N. And that was assigned to me. I was like, yo, man, I got to be on a freaking marquee.
Yeah.
SMA. E-S-E-M-A-E.
That's
either
awesome.
It's just me or it's the band. No matter what, it's universal. It's a name.
Well, the marquee for today is Sarah Agajanian's Bar.
Yeah.
Is what's on the marquee bar. For today.
We're going to like spray paint it on the bottom right here. Right here. bottom of the bar.
Room. You got enough
I
room.
I do. There's yeah. creative canvas right here under
that's
the bar.
That's awesome. I mean, you can go to town on this motherfucker right here.
That's what this whole apartment is for, man.
Yes.
I
love this
basis.
Apartment.
Thanks,
can you go do this on my apartment, please?
Yeah. We could talk.
Yeah. Do you know where Southgate is at?
I have no idea where something
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I love that.
Good.
I feel
good.
Like you've told me, though.
That's well, no, we were talking about earlier about where we can record the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so.
So is the word voce? Is it voce? No?
Voce, no.
No.
Or yes.
Yeah. No.
It's yes.
It's no.
That's no?
No.
Oh.
Voce, sorry.
Oh, yeah, because yes is yes.
Yes.
So, right?
You lost
yeah.
me.
No.
Yes, you lost me.
Hey, that's a remix.
He knows
right
more Armenian than I do.
Oh, sorry, it's family.
But Volch is no. Yeah.
So Soul Seeker.
Yes.
I loved that you said in the lyrics it was mm-hmm. something like be the change somehow.
Yeah.
It was be the change somehow. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's like I've heard be the change that you want to see in others. And that's what the hell is his name?
Be the change. What's it the Dalai Lama? No, it's not.
Yeah, no.
I know what quote you're talking about.
Yeah, well, but I
be
like
the change that you want to see in the world, or be the change that you want to. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like yours better. Sorry.
Be the change somehow.
Somehow.
Like yeah. whatever way possible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I wrote that song after I watched the Woodstock documentary.
Oh.
On weed.
No, I was actually no. sober.
Oh, yeah, boo.
Like, you know, dude, the crazy thing is that I usually make music and create it completely sober.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I just smoke nice. After a gig. I don't smoke before, and I smoke in a jam situation sometimes. It's social for me. It's
yeah.
I'm pretty sober when I actually make my music.
That's cool.
You so don't need really to tap into anything else except for yourself.
Mm-mm. And that's the scariest thing. So it's scary to be sober.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I really feel like this. you're like, geez. The Woodstock documentary is phenomenal. And
it's great.
I'm, you know, I have to say, and the song is about, you know, it's, are you a soul seeker? Maybe a love teacher. No matter what, no matter what. Are you a soul, soul seeker? Maybe a love, love teacher.
I wanted you to sing that part.
Yeah. Are you a soul, soul seeker? Maybe a love, love teacher? No matter what, no matter what. It's nice to meet ya. It's like when I watched a documentary, I could smell the mud. You know,
yeah.
I believe I was possibly present in the 60s. That might be my eccentric artist self talking right now, but I'm not ashamed to say it because
I wish I was there too.
I feel like I might have been there, or I wish I was there.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about that time. It was communal, the musical.
Yeah. That's what I was like. It was fucking amazing. I like that. I like this whole song.
I don't want to go into it
because it sounds really weird for me to try to. Like Walter's looking at me weird, so it's like.
No, that's good. I'm
waiting for him to try to sing something.
I know. That's what he's doing all the time.
Like he wants to.
I'm
glad you like it so much because maybe I got to keep it in my set.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
Thank you.
And not only do you sing, you do a bunch of shit. I'm sorry. You're Armenian, but I think you're Jamaican because you have so many jobs.
How many jobs
many
job men
do
how
you
many
got? You got, you know?
Many, many.
You write for...
No woman, no cry.
I don't got time to cry. I got to go to work.
No cry, no whoop. No cry. Definitely no cry. Just try.
Yeah.
You do, though.
Dirty for 30.
Dirty and 30.
What is that about?
.com.
Dirty and 30.
Dirty and 30 is a website, and I'm not 30. I met these two beautiful women, Stuart Prezel and Stephanie Seifer, at a yoga retreat years ago, and they have a forum where women to come together and write about life.
Was the yoga retreat?
In Ojai, California.
Cool.
So this website is great. Stuart is an online, she's like a host for TV. She hosts all over the place. Stephanie is an actress, and she works everywhere. And so I came together with these powerful women of mine, and I actually just played Yolopalooza, which was their event.
Are you serious?
It was awesome. I played at Stuart's birthday in Hollywood at Johnny Winks, and she's like, well, I want your band to play. So me and Kevin went down there, and we played. And it was awesome to be in a room with women that we've been supporting each other for like 4 or 5 years now, and we're all doing exactly what we said we were aiming to do, and we're doing it. And so I'm a contributor, even though I'm not 30, I do contribute to the female voice. And we shot a music video together, and I wrote the song with the ladies and produced it with my friend Genevieve Goings, who is a touring artist with Disney. And we shot a song and did a music video for them just for the hell of it, just for us to be women in town that are supporting each other. And Dirty and 30, I don't write for them very much anymore because I take my energy and put it elsewhere, especially now that I'm running my own business, rockandbrowse.com.
What is Rock and Brows? I'm sorry, no, but go ahead and finish with the...
Well, Rock and Brow, I'll go to Rock and Brows because I sculpt eyebrows for a living. So I make my money sculpting the women of Los Angeles and men.
When you see us, do you like...
Damn, this dude needs a lawnmower across
his
face.
Actually, I was going to say, like, you know, Walt's got some pretty good eyebrows on him.
They're
really? Sweet.
And they're perfectly spaced, and you too.
But Walter's are pretty long. Walter's are
He
like,
cuts them, though, I can tell.
No, he doesn't.
I don't. This is not natural.
Can you make a mohawk?
I can get Walter Matthau with the quickness.
No, Walter does not. There's like one long hair. Like, it's like one from the beginning to the end. It's like... Just one super
I literally have mustaches over my eyes. That's like pretty much.
It's good. So do I. I mean, hey, man.
I've never done it either, but it's just like Walter. There's just one hair from Walter just like runs
They'll
across the
you.
Whole okay. thing. Sometimes, you know, it's just like you got to watch
you
it.
You know what? I'm comfortable. If you are a eyebrow specialist, master, and you say I'm
like
decent
a ninja.
To okay,
I'm an
I'm
eyebrow
happy
ninja.
With that.
Yeah, you're an eyebrow ninja.
I am, man. Battling the world of Beverly Hills. Let me just tell you.
So let me ask you this. I am on the west side. Is this okay?
You're fine.
I'm good?
You guys are fine. Both
yeah.
are fine.
Thank
High
you.
Five.
Yeah.
We're not only
fine. High
five. Made for radio.
But she knows
we're
the
eyebrows.
Secret, so it's just like, yeah, you're fine, but
no,
I would change this on you.
You know, I'm an expert.
Almost definitely. How much of an expert? What's your clientele like over?
I will pay
Holly Weird,
Hollywood,
Holly
agents,
everything,
everybody. I work on a lot of big people. I work on a lot of people. It's a very profitable business, thank God. Can I do it forever? Probably not because of my back. But it is the business that supports me and my clients support me. They come to my shows.
Oh, cool.
They get involved. All my musicians come to me for makeup and eyebrows. I hook them up because I know they need work done before they go on tour, before they shoot a video. I work on shoots sometimes and help. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm cross-branding pretty much. And because,
wrong with that.
Well, if I'm going to do it, because I have to do it, because I have to pay my bills and I have to get a Nord Stage 2 keyboard and I have to rent out space and do production. And I mean, these things are, they're all discounted because I know everybody in town, but I still have to pay for something. So I might as well have a job. And it's not just a job, it's my own business. And I'm branding it so that maybe somebody will want to come in and buy me out. And then I'm sitting pretty and I can tour, make music, come back, take my best clients when I'm in town and catch up with them.
At Rock and Bra.
Yeah, and then make my music.
Yeah.
So the Coffee Bean was like, you know what? I'm going right past Coffee Bean.
Yeah.
I'm fucking out of control. I'm butt kicker. I'm going to start my own business.
Well, I moved to LA to work in the beauty industry. That was my first dream. I didn't become a singer until I got situated in that business at the salon I was at. And then I hung out at Harvell's in Santa Monica for House of Vibe.
Oh.
And where I'm going to tonight.
Just
after
tonight,
this.
Tonight, yeah.
And those guys inspired me to start picking up the microphone.
So you're playing tonight with, what's his name, Anthony Brew?
Oh.
Anthony Brewster?
Yeah, Brewster. No, Brewster. I'm not playing with. I might have the guts
He runs the night, though, right?
Yeah. It's, okay. House of Vibe you know, Brew, that's his name. Brew. That is his freaking band. And they play with Talib Kweli and they play with Charlie Tuna and they.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
And this guy's like legit. And his wife is a very good friend of mine and client for Browse.
Yeah.
And if I have the guts and there's a song that hits my soul, I might grab the microphone. It just depends on the energy and the vibe, which is why it's called House of Vibe.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring it back to you really quick. On your website, there's paintings. In your house, there's a lot of artwork. How long have you been painting? Was that before musicianship?
Well, I started playing piano at 6. I started drawing at 3.
Wow. When you moved out here for makeup, did you pick up the piano or did you pick up the paintbrush first?
Well, I've always had the paintbrush in my hand.
Okay.
I've been drawing and painting. I was in studio art. IBAP art. I was selling art in San Diego. I was a face painter, a body painter. I've always been a visual artist.
That's incredible.
I love to paint. But painting requires like 8-9 hours of my time to like actually disappear into the painting. So I have to set up my environment for it and clear my mind. But yeah, I mean, I've been painting forever. I mean, I hope and I plan and hopefully in the future down the road I'll have an art show just for the sake of it. But painting is for me. Painting is a way for me to reflect and find out where I'm at and how I really feel, you know?
Yeah.
And I took some art classes at Otis College when I moved up here, and I thought I was going to be a famous painter. I thought, like, that was it. And then I realized I'm way too social to be alone all the time. I'm so freaking social, man.
Well, check this out. You're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You're a painter.
Mm-hmm.
You're our bartender tonight. Oh, you have so many talents. What's next? What do you got lined up? You got any shows, galleries? What's going on? Yeah. What's next for you?
So what's happening right now is that I'm going from solo artist to band artist, which would be SMA. ESEMAE, and I'm gathering my musicians, which is taking some time because it's the right vibe. And so I'm really focusing on that, and I'm singing tomorrow night a couple songs at Harvell's, and then I've got another gig at Harvell's, maybe June 2nd or 3rd. I think it's 3rd. But right now I'm trying to keep the gigs kind of private because I'm really just kind of, not private, but I'm really building SMA right now. SMA is going to be, after all these years, SMA is the final product. Not the final, but the product right now. It's like, this is the focus. This is what I'm doing. I'm not just solo. I'm just going to lead this band, and we're going to make bitchin' music, and then we'll produce an EP, and we'll do some more music videos, which I love to shoot music videos. And I have music videos on YouTube.
On YouTube, yes.
My last two. And I'm into the visual arts, man. I like to produce the whole thing. But
it's an evolution.
It is. It's a total evolution. I'm just now figuring this out. And Rockin' Brows is still staying around, and I'm hoping that'll have people come join me, work under me, so I can go do my thing. And musically. But those are the... I mean, pretty much it's just continuing this process 6 years in, 5.5 years in of making music, playing it out loud. I'm just going to try and conquer LA. SMA is going to get together. We're going to conquer LA. We're going to make an EP. We're going to put out some music videos.
Can you conquer LA? And then when you do, can you just add a couple extra lanes on 405 and on Pico? Fucking love you if you do. Like, if you can just add extra lanes.
If I become powerful enough, that would be great. Listen to me. I sound like a dictator. I'm going to conquer Los Angeles.
Please, please. And that's my lobby. That's my only lobby. Add lanes to the goddamn highways in here. You got anything, Fonz?
I
got to
use the restroom.
Well, before that, really quick, put a clothespin on it really quick, Fonz. Sarah, how social media, how do people follow you?
People can follow me on Instagram at Sarah with an H, Agajanian Music. So it's AGAJANIAN. Music for Instagram, which would take you everywhere. Or you can go to SMA.com, SMAE.com to follow me. And I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. If you just follow Instagram, go to my website, you'll pretty much find me everywhere.
Sarah Agajanian.
Mm-hmm.
You are a multi-talented person. But you know what? Now me and Fonz can call you an incredible friend of the show. Thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And you like Jameson.
Like,
it's my boyfriend.
There you go.
All right, we got to go because Fonzo has to go. On that note, the pilot show number 23.
Yeah, right now.
Exactly. Sarah, thanks again.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Gnats.
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 The Walter and Fonzie Show. Don't you know? You drink Jameson until you got to go. It's on the rocks. Plenty of punk rock. The Walter and Fonzie Show.
You ain't got to get the hell home. You just got to get the fuck out of here. No, seriously, get out of here. No, get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out of here. You're no longer welcome to the radio. Radio show.
Oh shit, here comes the 5-0. Walter, get the car running, 'cause we gotta go.
You're on the run. You're on the run.
The Walter and Fonz Show.